Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Courtney Morris. She's an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Sonali.
The U.S. has confirmed that it has killed a top leader of an Al-Qaeda splinter group earlier this month. Pentagon spokesperson Jeff Davis announced in a press briefing yesterday that a U.S. airstrike in northwestern Syria on July 8th resulted in the death of a man named Mohsin Al-Fadli. Al-Fadli was a leader of the Khorasan group, about which little is known in the U.S., and he was, according to the BBC, a confidant of Osama bin Laden and one of the few Al-Qaeda members to receive advance warning of the September 11th attacks. The Christian Science Monitor described the group as tasked with planning attacks on the West. Khorasan is apparently made up of veteran jihadi fighters from Afghanistan and Pakistan. Well, Courtney, it seems as though the U.S.'s aims in Syria are constantly changing. This group that was targeted is not ISIS, but ISIS was supposed to be the reason the U.S. started airstrikes on Syria, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, I think what we're seeing in Syria is that the Obama administration is really scrambling to create a coherent foreign policy as it pertains to Syria. And I think, you know, the situation is one in which the search for reliable allies on the ground has really yielded nothing. And so every time the Obama administration needs to change course in Syria, it comes up with a new set of justifications for why it's doing so. So, you know, in the first case, we hear that we have to go into Syria and we have to arm pro-democracy Syrian rebels against Bashar al-Assad. And his use of chemical weapons on his own citizens, and then when it turns out that those pro-democracy rebels are perhaps not the ideal allies that we had hoped for, and we change course, then the threat of the Khorasan group, which I think about Glenn Greenwald's article, series of articles last summer in The Intercept talking about this, you know, the Khorasan group as a group that no one had ever heard of, that kind of came out of nowhere, that was supposedly more dangerous than ISIS, and yet in the past year we've heard nothing about this group, and now that narrative seems to be returning again. So I think, it's very important to sort of take all of these reports with a grain of salt, because, when we see the actions of the Obama administration in Syria, it really, what we find is that there's a strategy of creating new rationales for whatever course of action we choose to take based on what suits the interests of the Obama administration at any given time. So,
and here in the United States, Texas has released the dash cam footage of a state trooper named Brian Encinia confronting Sandra Bland. After pulling her over in her car, Bland, an African-American woman, was found dead in her cell 3 days after she was arrested, and authorities initially said she committed suicide. But activists and her family members have demanded answers. Her death is now being investigated as a murder. The released video of her arrest shows Mr. Encinia threatening to, quote, light her up with his taser after she refused to put out her cigarette. Some media outlets contend that the footage has been edited, but Texas authorities are claiming that it was simply a technical glitch and that there was no intentional editing. The video of the arrest generated an outpouring of anger on social media over what seemed to be an unnecessary and violent arrest. Now, Courtney, watching that video made me very angry. What was your reaction?
I'm in Texas right now, Sonali, actually visiting my family. And so watching this video was particularly distressing and frustrating, since I've been driving by myself all over the state this week.
Wow.
Watching the video, my preliminary viewing of it, I mean, it's very difficult to believe that this video wasn't doctored in some way. At one point, you see after Ms. Bland has been arrested, you see a tow truck pull up, the driver comes out of the tow truck, and then 2 seconds later, you see the driver come out of the tow truck again, but you never saw him return to the truck. And, you know, I think what we're seeing here, this is so similar to so many cases where video footage has really proven to kind of, to really shape the tide, you know, really change the tide of public opinion on a particular case, you know, where what we're seeing is Black civilians who are being arrested and brutalized by the police, essentially for talking back and mouthing off, right? Not for breaking any laws, not for misbehaving in any legal way, but for talking back. And so when you look at the video, even as flawed as it is, you know, you really see how at every point in the encounter, the state trooper escalated the situation in a way that was both unnecessary and ultimately irresponsible, and created the situation where Ms. Bland was incarcerated and died in custody. So this
right.
is, it's a horrifying and very troubling revelation.
And finally, in the wake of the Chattanooga, Tennessee shootings of military personnel, groups of armed Americans have apparently decided to take it upon themselves to protect recruitment centers in various parts of the U.S. Military recruiters are not permitted to carry weapons. One man who openly carried his 9mm handgun in Columbus, Ohio, across the street from a recruitment center told AP, "We're here to serve and protect. What the government won't do, we will do." The group Oath Keepers, which is considered a hate group, put out a call on its website on Tuesday for armed Americans to guard centers. The U.S. government has not assessed any immediate threat to such centers. Courtney, what do you make of this protection that these folks say they're providing? I mean, can you imagine if armed people of color followed police around to make sure they don't kill more unarmed civilians?
Well, at one point, people of color did, in fact, do mm-hmm. just that. And if we think about the history of the Black Panther Party, you can see how well that went over with the federal government. It didn't play out well at all. But I think, you know, really what we're seeing here is this kind of how deeply ingrained this vigilante attitude that justifies armed civilians, largely white civilians, taking the law into their own hands when they feel that the federal government is not moving swiftly enough or in the way that they would like it to move to deal with their concerns around security, safety, terrorism, those sorts of issues. And it's ironic how the federal government's response to these sort of vigilante actions has really been to treat these groups with kid gloves, groups who are hate, you know, who have right. a history of being hate groups. They've not gone after them and told right. them, take your guns and go home.
Courtney, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye, Sanaa.
Courtney Morris is an assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.